Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
This episode of the Golf Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. WynnBET is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Louisiana, Massachusetts, Michigan, New York, New Jersey, Tennessee, and Virginia. From boosted same game parlays to live in-game odds, WynnBET has what you need to win. You bet $100, you get $100 at WynnBET.com or download the WynnBET app and start winning today. State restrictions do apply. And we're also brought to you by the Sports Gambling Podcast Final Four Watch Party this Saturday. Sweat out your bets and win prizes with Ryan, Sean, and Colby over at YouTube.com/sportsgamblingpodcast. All right, DGens, welcome back. It's the Valero Texas Open DFS show. It's your boy Boston Capper with the God of Golf himself, Steve Shermer. Steve, I'm in a little better mood tonight about the tournament as a whole. I think I was just still irritated about match play being done.
Okay. All right. You know what? I'm in a good mood too. I know some people are not looking forward to this event. I think it's crappy. I kind of like making cases for bums, though. Yeah. You know, shine its herd a little bit, yes, present it to you guys about why, you know, you should buy into this complete loser. So I'm actually looking forward to it tonight. I actually have a lot of losers that I kind of end up selling myself on. So they're we'll all, see where it goes tonight.
They're all losers. I found the best fucking meme, by the way. And it says, yeah, they're losers, but they're my losers. And it's Gary Oldman in some show I've never fucking seen. Yeah. Okay. It's, I was like, oh my God, I'm going to way overuse this. I'm going to use this a lot.
Maybe that could be the little thumbnail for our show tonight.
Oh, could be. It's good. It's a good call.
Exactly. Yeah. All right. Cameron. Although I think he's out of state now. So I think we're SOL on that.
Who's going to do it?
Oh, no, he already pre-made the thumbnail, so we're good.
Wait, who's doing it?
He went to go gamble, I think, in Louisiana.
Yeah, so. Shreveport. He said he was going
to Shreveport. He's at the 6-5 blackjack table, which is just abuse right there to gamblers. 6-5 blackjack, not great.
You're missing an item. So what does that mean?
It basically means you get paid out 6-5 on blackjack. Usually,
I thought you were saying 3-2. I thought you said it was a $6 or $5 table. I was like, I love finding a $5 table. What are you talking about?
No, it's just a casino, you know.
Yeah, it's the rake.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So. Anything with any slight edge to the player, they're gonna make it so the rake makes it no longer a fucking edge.
There you go. So, all right, why don't we get to DFS pricing? So,
real quick though, is there any weather updates?
Maybe a slight lean towards guys AM/PM.
Yeah.
It is looking like, I mean, Thursday looks pretty windy regardless.
Right.
It looks a little less windy in the morning, pretty windy in the afternoon. It seems like, though, it's going to be breezy in the morning and then nothing in the afternoon.
On Friday?
On Friday, but we'll see. Yeah. So, I mean, tee times are not out. I definitely would monitor it. It seems like on Saturday, Sunday, though, it's not going to be quite as windy. So maybe these wave stacks might be pretty important.
I feel like we've been overvaluing that lately.
We have. We definitely have. But, one of these weeks is going to work for us. Exactly. So.
Blind squirrel finds a nut, baby.
All right. $10,000 range. Let's just get right to it.
Yep.
I'm going to be honest. I don't really like anybody up here.
Okay.
Even the popular options down, you know, with Ricky and Corey Connor. So, I guess, why don't I start with Hatton and Hideki? Because these guys are clearly pivots based on early ownership. I think there's the risk that they're going to withdraw. I think that's a very reasonable possibility. So I guess if, let's say both of them stay in, which one, I guess, do you prefer?
I'll take Hatton.
Really?
I don't trust Decky in his injury at all. Like Hatton, like had whatever he had with his hands and then still went out and played. Decky didn't play his third round. His injury history is just the juice ain't worth the squeeze for me at 10-5. It's just not, especially if he's thinking about the Masters. You know what I mean? Like, does he really want to go out and tweak his neck and not be able to play good at Augusta?
Okay. So around this time last year, this is when he had the neck injury.
Yeah. Well, so, didn't he get it here?
No, he didn't get it here. I think he got it at Bay Hill.
Did he withdraw from this? Did he get DQ'd from this last year? He got DQ'd.
No, he got DQ'd from Memorial for the
Memorial,
for
the stupid driver sticker.
Yeah, for the driver sticker. So how did he do here? All right. So you know what? You're right. He did withdraw.
Dumb.
So and then the next week he had a T14 at the Masters. So yeah. I guess that is a demerit for him.
Yeah.
But why is he here then? Like, if he's really that concerned about it, why is he playing?
I don't think he's going to.
I don't think he's going to. All right. So I guess then, do you really want to pay 10-9 to contrary with Hatton?
No. I'm good. Okay. He looks like he should be at Corset here, but I don't know. No. I'm fine with not paying 10-9.
Yeah. I mean, like, he fits a lot of things I'm looking for. I mean, he's good in all the proximity buckets that I see here. I mean, he scores pretty well anytime he has to get up and down from a bunker. In relation to the field, good putter on Bermuda, which I think that's going to be the dominant strain of grass on this green this week.
Yep.
So, but I just overall, I think between the injury concern with him, and I mean, I'm trying to think too. Other than Spieth, like the real top premium guys, like they tend to kind of fall flat. Like I know, like Finau's been in this tournament a couple times, and like
tell me about
really
it.
High on him, and he doesn't really do anything.
Exactly.
So, and honestly, I mean, I'm not really buying Fowler this week. I'm not really buying Ricky.
Okay.
Tell
me why.
I just think that between all the attention and the pressure that's going to be on him in order to win, around the green, he's been pretty bad as well. I am as one of the worst bunker players in the actual field over the last 3 years. So, that's not great for me. I mean, like, I'm not going to overvalue bunker play this week. That's going to be my sole reason for picking or trading guys. But like, yeah, it's a tiebreaker. And then Corey Connors, I just feel like with how he's been playing, I just don't want to pay 10-1 for Corey.
He played good at match play, though. And he's obviously likes it here, likes it at Augusta. Right. So I don't know. I'm fine. They're both uber chalk, though, right? So I'm fine just out of. Just to skip this fucking range completely. I just think it's crazy because Ricky in the models is so, I mean, he's number one in approach in this field. He's third in ball striking. So it's just the narrative's too perfect, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, he's not going to he's trending in the right direction. He's not going to win a tournament to get in the Masters. Like, it's just the narrative is too perfect.
Okay. All right. I mean, completely honestly, and probably DFS, I'm probably skipping this range.
Yeah, me too. I was wondering when I started looking at the ownership. I know, guys, it's fucking Monday, right? So who knows? It's all going to shift, right? Mm-hmm. But I thought for sure, other than Ricky, like I thought Connors was going to get skipped. Like I thought everybody was just going to start with a couple guys in the nines.
Okay. So, all right. You want to take a break? I mean, I got nothing else for the $10,000 range.
No, I mean, I'm fine with that. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Why don't we take our first break? And then, why don't we start breaking down some ranges that, I kind of enjoy a little more.
All right, let's do it. Listen, WynnBET is the official online sports book of the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. And WynnBET is now active in Massachusetts and tons of other states. Be on the lookout for the WynnBET Win Hour each Thursday, 5 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. During the WynnBET Win Hour marquee games of the week, we'll have better odds on WynnBET, giving you a larger payout opportunity. And March Madness is still here. So many ways to bet on the big dance. You sign up today to receive a special offer. You bet $100, you get $100. It is limited to a state availability. And of course, for our DGens only, if you hit the biggest long shot parlay of the week, you get $1,000 in free credit. There's so much to choose from. And all you have to do is head over to winbet.com or download the WynnBET app today. Offer is subject to change. Terms and conditions, winbet.com. Must be 21 or older and present in the state where playthrough WynnBET is available. If you or somebody you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. And for the Masters, you're looking to hang out with Sean and Ryan at the Stadium Swing and watch the biggest golf tournament in the world. You can win a 3-night stay at the Circa Las Vegas to hang with the boys. The contest is completely free to enter. You just go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com. golf party. And if you don't win the contest, you can still get a discount on the room using promo code SGP15. And the final four watch party is going virtual. Hang out with the guys with their virtual on their YouTube channel for the entire Saturday of final four action, live bets, prize giveaways, and much more. Subscribe to youtube.com/sportsgivenpodcast and tune in on Saturday.
Okay. All right. And then I want to let you guys know too, that we're planning to have a very special giveaway for the Masters. We have a TaylorMade Stealth 2 driver in our warehouse that we just are needing to unload on our fans. But we need your help though. You know, we're on the precipice of a couple of milestones. So if we get 20 Apple reviews, 20 Spotify reviews, and 20 YouTube new subscriptions to our YouTube channel, we're going to give away a driver free to you as a big thank you for all the support you're giving us. So go ahead, subscribe to our YouTube channel. Give us a review on or a rating on Spotify. Give us an Apple review, and then you'll be eligible to win a new driver.
All right.
Okay. We have a question from Terrell Furman from the NBA Gambling Show.
I just answered him in the chat. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, we talked about it at the top of the show, but I mean, there is some injury concern with him, but overall, like, he should be a good course fit. I mean, obviously really good, a lot of proximity buckets. We're looking at good iron player. He's been pretty good at, you know, some other Texas golf courses, some Greg Norman designs as well. He's been good as too. So, you know, that could be somebody you might want to look at this week, but and he's not drawing a lot of ownership, so maybe in DFS could be a little bit contrarian. Not my cup of tea this week, but yeah.
I mean, for betting, like maybe a top 20, but I'm not paying 13-1 for Terrell Hatton to win this fucking
tournament. No, I'm probably not either. So, all right, $9,000 range, and I need to ask you a question, sir, okay. As the whisperer of Siwoo Kim. Mm-hmm. Why can't he win this week?
He absolutely can win this week. I talked about it with Cam this morning. He was talking about Montgomery at 22. And I was like, why wouldn't you just bet Siwoo? Like, why wouldn't you just not bet Siwoo at 22? The same fucking number. Mm-hmm. He can absolutely win this week. He's got that cheater putter now. Yeah, fuck yeah. He can absolutely win this week. He may or may not already be on my betting cap.
Okay. What number cheater putter is this for him? Is this number 6 or 7 since last year? Because he is prone to snapping it over his knee.
I haven't seen him snap a long boy yet.
Okay. All right. Well, maybe it just hasn't been on camera. I know last year, because I witnessed this in person at Augusta National, he fired a ball into the pond on 16, but they cut away real quick.
Yeah,
They wanted to protect him, kind of like how the ESPN Plus wants to protect John Rahm when he goes into a string of profanities.
He just disappears.
After a really bad shot. Yeah,
the audio just disappears. And so I think it's hilarious. I swear they don't even know if they're going to say anything, but a golfer hits a bad shot, they're like, just dump it. Just hit the dump button. Hit the dump button. Just hold it for a minute.
Yep. As soon as I don't hear the ball coming off the club face, I know something really poor is about to happen.
Exactly.
And then it's a guy I bet on, usually means I give expletives too. I love Siwoo Kim this week. I mean, he's really popular. It makes a lot of sense, though, because he's been really good here. The TD Green number has been really solid on him, you know, really getting a lot of proximity buckets. He hasn't been scrambling all that great lately over his last 12 months. I got my, you know, minus 0.2, but overall, though, he is pretty good around the green. Great bunker player, too.
Okay, good. I was going to ask you that because I was in my brain, which, you know, is constantly wrong. In my brain, he's a good bunker player. So you concur that the stats back up my eye.
So let me tell you what I did. Okay. So, because sometimes, like, just looking at sand state percentage is a little misleading. They also have on PGA Tour what you actually scored on the hole when you had to get up and down from the bunker. Mm. So it's a combination of a lot of things. Basically, are you putting yourself in a position to actually make the putt, and can you make the putt? So I actually create a little bootleg strokes gain from out of bunkers for this week. And he's getting over, and if he did this, like, so if everybody had like 18 bunker shots around, he's gaining over a stroke on the field. So it's very strong for him. So good bunker player overall. Good scrambler overall. He's a little bit in a rut right now. I'm not too concerned about it because historically at one of the things I also pulled too was how you actually do in this event. Like, are you pretty good with your irons in this event? Are you pretty good around the green in this event? He's been very good around the green this event. So I'm not really too worried about what his short-term form is with that.
Yeah.
So I'm good with I'm good with Siwoo Kim this week, even though he is popular.
Listen, I get it. You just got to get different somewhere else. And listen, there's certain guys down low that are catching it, and I'm sure that there's going to be more groupthink as the week goes on, and you'll see some popularity down there. But yeah, you could definitely get different somewhere else. I mean, you know, don't start Ricky and then go see Woo. I'm gonna go on mute because my dogs are going nuts.
Okay, why not talk about Davis Riley then? Because I was going to make the case for Davis Riley. I guess here was the case I was going to come to the show with. Listen, Around the Green has been very poor for the last year or so, but J.J. Spahn was really poor around the green heading in last year, but he was hitting the ball great, and he ended up winning. Riley has very good history in Texas and at some other Greg Norman designs.
Yep.
He had been hitting his irons pretty well. So, but what scared me off though is I was going to try to prove everybody wrong because I like doing that.
Yes, we know.
So I was going to talk about, do we overrate around the green at this place? Because it is important.
Right.
But as far as like, so I went back and looked at last year's top 10. And I looked at how they were all doing around the green the last 50 rounds and how they're doing around the green the last 12.
Yeah.
And JJ Spahn was the exception to the rule. Okay. Everybody else was very good around the green, either heading in or if they were maybe like field average, they were really good like in the short term.
Okay.
And Davis Riley's doing neither of those things. So that's enough to scare me off, especially because he is drawing some ownership this week. His outright price has been steamed up from, you know, 30-ish to 1 to mid-20s now.
I know.
So, and for whatever reason, I don't know how much faith I want to put in these numbers, but DataGolf actually estimated the strokes gained of everybody at the WGC Matchplay based on categories. And he didn't play all that well, even though he was 2-1.
Yeah.
He lost strokes off the tee, lost strokes around the green, lost strokes to the putter, only slightly up with his irons. Okay. So if I was baking that into my data, which I don't really want to do because I'm going to be honest, with how match play is, there's a lot of conceded putts. Yeah. There's guys
play 50 holes versus 30 holes. You know, whatever.
Right? Exactly. So, but just taking this at face value, his irons have actually been not very good lately. The around the green is still a problem for him. He's not trending as well as I liked him to be. So now I'm actually off him this week.
Okay. Hey, man. That's fine.
Okay. Let's see. You got Chris Kirk and Kuchar down here.
Both yeah. So let me ask you about Kirk. So
sure.
All right. He's really good around the green. His wedges under 150 are really, really solid.
Yep. He's really good from 150 to 200 as well.
Yeah. So I don't know. I guess this is more of a betting question because I haven't been able to pull the trigger on it, but I do have a lazy book that doesn't move the number. Is he going to go from not winning in however many years it was to winning twice in a month and a half?
I mean, Brendan Todd did that a couple of years ago.
It's true. Maybe. That's true.
I mean,
it's Bermuda too. He putts well on Bermuda.
He does putt well on Bermuda. I can tell you what he did at match play. His ball striking was really good at match play, but mm-hmm. he did not putt well and he wasn't great around the green. That's pretty abnormal for him.
Correct.
So if you don't think that's going to continue, the fact that, you know, I mean, I got him gaining over a stroke per match with his irons, gaining about 0.4 off the tee.
Okay.
So if that's right for data golf, he's coming in with really a ball striking. That's similar to a JJ Spahn.
And when he misses, he doesn't like hit it off the fucking planet, and that's where you get in trouble here.
No, not that I know of. Yeah. So,
okay.
Yeah, I mean, like for DFS, he seems to be very popular. If I was going to choose between Kuchar and Kirk, I probably would just go with the lower owned guy, which seems like it's going to be Kuchar right now.
Yeah.
But if you want to go Chris Kirk, I mean the case for him is immaculate. I mean, both of them are tremendous around the green. Both of them are tremendous bunker players. No. Both of them are really good from under 150 and score very well from those rangers. Both of them have really good course history here. So, I mean, there's not really much to, you know, poke a hole at with these guys. And then Ryan Fox. So
he hits it a mile, but he sprays it fucking everywhere.
Okay, he does, but I mean, you can do that.
Yeah,
that's fine. His irons have been tremendous. He's really good around the green. He's been putting very well on Bermuda lately and on some of the overseeded surfaces too.
Yeah.
I kind of like him this week.
I don't hate him. He jumped out at me. I talked about him this morning. I'm sick of losing money on Dietrich. So I was thinking about losing more money on a different loser. Well, I guess he's not European, but plays on the European tour.
Yeah. I mean, well, he's actually won in the European tour.
Yeah, that's true.
He's been okay at Jumeirah Estates, which is a Greg Norman design. I think he's got a top 20 finish there at the DP World Championship last year. So I can actually get behind Ryan Fox, considering, you know, he fits a lot of things I'm looking for. You know, decent around the green. The irons have been tremendous with him. He's actually another guy that at match play, his ball striking was really good for his three matches. I got him gaining 3.1 strokes per match with his ball striking. And he lost it all with a putter, and he wasn't great around the green. That's the one thing with him, is sometime around the green, it can really down south for him for a couple tournaments, but then it comes right back quickly. He's had two down tournaments in a row. I'm looking like at the 2022 results. Yeah, he went through a similar thing last September, like really poor around the green, and then he started, and then he turned it around at the Kazoo Open in France, and then he won two starts later. So
the Kazoo Open, I just picture that annoying toy as a child that my kids still somehow get at like birthday grab bags. The fucking shit goes right in the trash.
There you go. So maybe when he won it, or maybe when he he missed the cut there, maybe the winner actually blows into it. So, well, I mean, the point is, I mean, the guy has won before. That's unlike Dietrich. Yeah. So
yeah, listen, I'm fine with it. I just worry about, I don't watch him enough. You know what I mean? Like I trust what guys who watch him all the time say. So yeah.
He also did a very good job in the American Psycho parody featuring Terrell Hatton.
Oh, he did.
He did. Yeah. He had, I think, a couple lines in there.
There it is. Good. That's all I needed.
There you go.
Thanks, right, buddy.
I just sold you.
Thanks, buddy.
So fucking all right. That video. Why don't we move to the $8,000 range then? So why don't I kick it off with you? Who are a couple guys you like down here?
I mean, Ben Griffin, man. Why not? Like, why not?
I can tell you why not.
He's really good around the green. He's good with his wedges. And the rest of his irons are shaky at best. And like, he hasn't really done anything since like the Honda. But listen, I mean, I'm fine with it. I'm certainly going to take him. Like, look, I might not even be in this range, but it's between fucking Alex Noren and Gesundheit. I'm taking Griffin. And then the only other person I was high on Cam Davis this morning, that's gone. I'm not going back to DG. What do you think Wallace is going to fucking play?
Yeah, he's on the Masters.
Okay, so we confirmed that him winning Corrales.
Yeah, he's not in the Masters. Yeah, winning Corrales no longer gets you into the Masters.
That's fair.
It can't be an opposite field event.
Like it. I don't mind him, though. It just depends on ownership for him. He's so good around the green.
He is.
Shank's not getting any love.
He isn't. He hasn't been very good here.
Yeah.
He's really struggled with his irons here. He's been okay around the green here. He's putt well here.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. And I don't know enough. Like, I'll let somebody smarter than me who watches the Dutch kid tell me if I should really pay attention to what he's been doing.
Nikolai?
Yeah. I know you like him. I know you like him. So
I mean, I don't. So I like his brother better.
Oh,
his brother.
I'm confused.
Yeah. So here's the thing. Rasmus's brother played here last year, and actually was very good. I think he was almost first round leader. He finished T16. This is his brother.
He was
Nikolai.
Yeah,
okay. And Nikolai did very well at, what was it last week? Corrales?
Yeah, Corrales.
And he's been playing very well over on the European Tour early this winter. So what has he been doing? Yeah, so he finished, you know, fifth at Thailand, 13th at the Raz Al Ghul Championship, T10 at Abu Dhabi, T10 last December at the Australian Open. He's a very streaky player, very volatile player. I don't know how much I trust him a whole lot. He tends to do a lot of his damage off the tee. The irons can be definitely hit or miss with him.
Okay.
So, now, unfortunately, there's not any strokes gained data from any of his recent stuff. Like in Thailand, they didn't bring it over. Or the Australian Open, they didn't bring it over either. So there's a couple holes, I guess, in my visibility about what he's been doing.
Damn, Shank has been bad here.
He has been bad. Okay. So why don't you like Noren and Bazenhout?
Because I don't like them. Like,
you just don't like them.
That's it. Like, I'm just like, they don't do anything. They never do anything. They do miracle the fucking T13 at the fucking players. Norin stinks.
Call it miracle.
Miracled. Gesundheit stinks. Stinks, Jerry. He stinks. Alex Norin, what the fuck has he done? T4 at the Houston Open? Like, no, thank you. 8,800 for somebody who is not good at golf. No, no.
Okay. All right. So in three matches last week, he gained 3 strokes with his irons.
Okay.
Okay. And when he got cut at the Players, he gained 2 strokes with his irons.
Okay.
So the irons are trending up. He's been terrible off the tee, which if we're going to ignore that this week, is okay. He has been excellent in the state of Texas. He has been excellent on Jumeirah Estates, the Greg Norman design.
Mm-hmm.
He has been not very good at Mayakoba.
Nope.
So
never played here.
Never played here, but I don't think that really matters all that much.
No, it's fine.
So, and then you look at Bazenhout. He actually hit the ball pretty well, tee to green at the match play, even though he lost all 3 matches. It was actually around the green and putting.
That Which is what down. We want to avoid.
Okay, but he's been good. But he's been good. All right, you just want to hate on Bazenhout.
I hate Bazenhout.
I know you hate Bazenhout, but in general, he's pretty good putter and pretty good around the green, right?
Yeah, he's good around the green.
So you think that's going to happen twice in a row?
Yeah.
So you like Chris Kirk, who just had a really terrible performance on the green and putting.
Yeah.
But the ball striking was fine, so you like him.
Right.
But Bazenhout, who's been hitting his irons pretty well at the Players, irons pretty good last week at match play. It's really good around the green in general, and a great putter, really good with his wedges, a great bunker player too, and you don't like Bazenhout.
Correct.
At 2% ownership.
I mean, that might be all right. But listen, I mean, we're talking about two different, even if you take out the win, I mean, he still had 2 top 5s in January. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Okay. I just can't.
T15 at Colonial, T12 at TBC Craig Ranch, T15 at Mayakoba, T14 at Jumeirah Estates, T12 Jumeirah Estates.
Mm.
So you got a combination of good at Greg Norman places, good on Texas golf courses. If it is going to be windy, you want a guy who's going to get up and down.
Yeah, and it's going to be not low scoring, but you know what I mean.
It's not going to be a birdie fest, which I don't really want Bazenhout at.
Right.
I actually kind of don't really mind Norn or Bazenhout, considering I see their irons trending up and they're really good around the green. I think that's going to work this week. I think they are very, they're criminally underowned in DFS.
Right? I mean, I'll give you that. Like, Bazenhout should be higher than that, especially because of the type of scoring that we're expecting. Mm-hmm. I'm just looking at his stats now. And his approach numbers kind of stink too.
Yeah, I mean, but they've been good recently. So he's a treading up.
I'd rather, listen, if you put a gun on my head and made me pick one, I'd take Gesundheit, but.
Okay. You won't even say the name correctly.
No.
Okay.
No, I won't. All right.
I think we talk about everyone else. I mean, JJ Spahn, do you want to go back to him?
I mean, he looked good in match play.
He did look good in match play after being horrible for 4 straight tournaments.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, look, he's fine. I mean, he's probably too owned for me.
Okay.
Based on the other places I'm going. I mean, do you think he's going to defend? I don't think so.
I don't think so either. Yeah. I think he's, is he in the Masters? I think he's in the Masters.
Yeah, he's got to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. All right. Well, why don't we take another break?
Yep.
And then why don't we go over the $7,000 range?
Sounds good. Listen, we're also brought to you guys by Underdog Fantasy. Underdog Fantasy continues their Match Madness College Pick'em. It's a great way to get in on the action, especially if your bracket is busted. Plus, Underdog Fantasy has your favorite college basketball player props, great NBA and NHL daily games. Head over to UnderdogFantasy.com and use promo code SGPN for 100% deposit bonus up to $100. That's UnderdogFantasy.com, promo code SGPN. And don't forget, if you guys are watching us on Twitter or listening on Apple, Spotify, wherever it is, man, go make sure you give us a review and go over and subscribe to us on YouTube and watch us there, man. It helps out. Yeah, man, that's it. And then Steve can talk about Piper golf balls.
Yeah, so I just got a notification that my home course is going to be open for play starting next week. So I started book tee times, and I'm going to bring Piper golf balls to the golf course because that's going to help improve my game. You know, up here, it's kind of tough ball striking conditions between cold and wind. So you got to be really good around the green. That's what Piper golf balls do for you. You know, they got a line of golf balls that are tailor-made to everybody's handicap. They got a little extra spin to help you around the green. That's a really good way to lower your scores. I know it's going to help me too. So go to piper.golf/GGP. You get 10% off your first order using promo code GGP. You can opt to subscribe or receive scheduled shipments on golf balls at a 50% discount. And you get free shipping on anything any orders over $50. So go to piper.golf/GGP and start improving your game today.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
All right, $7,000 range. So, you usually have questions. You're on mute, by the way.
Sorry, I was taking a drink while you were reading your ad read.
That's okay.
I didn't want the ice to jingle.
All right, so you usually have questions like guys down here. So why don't you ask away?
Yeah, I was just saying, this is a big range of suck.
There's a lot of guys I like down here.
Yeah, that's fine. It's still a big range of suck. Okay. Brendan Todd seems like a pretty fucking obvious play, right?
Very obvious play.
Yeah. I wonder if he's going to catch more ownership. I actually thought he was going to have more already.
Okay.
I wonder why it's only sitting at like 10. He's so good around the green, good course history here. He's good with his wedges. He's playing okay. You know, he's playing good for Brendan Todd.
Irons are trending up with him too. It might be like if people are looking at really recent form, he was really bad Genesis and really bad in Phoenix.
Yeah.
But at Players, gained off the tee, gained with the irons, gained around the green. At Arnold Palmer, lost off the tee, gained with the irons, gained around the green.
Yep.
Like you just said, he's a winner in Texas. He won back where they played at, I think, TPC Four Seasons at the Byron Nelson. He's a winner in Mayakoba. That is a Greg Norman design as well. Really good at Valero. I mean, it's kind of like with Chris Kirk. Like, there's not really like on its face. Yeah, the iron numbers aren't all that great, but what he specializes in is under 150. That's really going to help on the par fours
approaches
here. And I know he's done it here before. Mm-hmm. So
I love it.
I think that's fine.
I like Rye at the same price point as well.
I do too.
Especially if it's going to be windy. Iron play, good around the green. I mean, 18-20 at the Players. I mean, he's a good... Is he young?
No.
I feel like he's not young, right?
No, I think he's like,
late 20s.
And what do you, 28.
Yeah. So, like, I consider young guys, like, at this point, fucking Sam Burns is like fucking 25.
I would say, 28 is kind of in your prime now.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair. I'm not falling for the Putnam trapdoor scheme. Not doing that.
No?
No. Nope.
Okay.
Pendrith stinks.
What happened to that guy?
I don't know, man. It seems like he lost everything. His iron suck, off the tee sucks, around the green sucks.
And that's not even including what happened last week. Corrales. I think on Thursday, he was like plus five for through like 12 holes.
Whatever that's worth.
He made the cut?
Yeah.
God, that must say how bad that field was. What was the cut? Like plus seven?
I couldn't speak to that intelligently.
Okay.
I guess that's never stopped me before, but I don't know what the cut line was. Bo Hostler, you want to trust course history? Missed four cuts in a row.
I'm not a Bo Hostler guy.
Me either. Smalley's interesting.
I actually like Alex Smalley this week. So
all striking numbers look real good.
Yep, the ball striking numbers have looked pretty well with him. Really good at a lot of the comp courses I looked at, like a lot of Texas golf courses, a lot of, you know, Greg Norman designs. So fourth at Houston last year, fourth in Houston again in 2022, sixth at Vedanta Vallarta. That's the Greg Norman design in Mexico, 27th at the Charles Schwab. Did not play very well at his only appearance at Valero Texas Open, but I like the fact that, around the green, he's been a little better lately. He finally had a good week with his irons. Maybe that's trending up a little bit. And his ownership, I don't think he's drawing all that much, right?
Nah, not too much. It's fine.
It's sub 10.
Yeah, it's spread pretty even down here.
Yeah, like he gives me vibes of like how I felt about Taylor Moore a couple weeks ago, where like maybe not the perfect case, but I just think he's a good player. He's got a lot of really good showings on the PGA Tour. I think the fact that he's $7,600 in this field, I think he's got a kind of a high ceiling.
Okay.
So
I don't hate it.
I kind of like him.
All right.
All right.
We believe it in Kizire.
You know, I was going to bring him up. Remember last year how chalky he was?
He was.
And he was horrible.
Yeah, terrible.
But, I mean, so did he just do really well? Like,
yeah, the T10 at the Valspar.
Yeah, there you go. So maybe that, in his eye, so he gained about 0.9 strokes per round at the Players with his irons.
No. Yep.
Gained again, you know, with his irons at Valspar. Now he's been horrible around the green.
Right. Very bad.
So that's a big demerit. But if you, I mean, listen, like Corey Connors won here, and JJ Spahn won here, who was horrible around the green coming in.
Yeah.
I'm not saying Kizire is going to win, but the fact that, like, maybe that he's going to start paying everybody off, you know, that lost money to him last year. So, and then, yeah, let's see. How's,
right,
what?
Right below him. Let's talk about him. Oh, I'm sorry. You still going to talk about Kizire? No, if you're still going on.
Well, I was going to talk about Dick Taylor.
How about Benny N?
Yeah. He didn't bend on. I mean, I don't think he's the ball striker he used to be.
I don't think so either, but he's still so good around the fucking green.
He is. I mean, he's got pretty good bunker numbers. Yeah, I mean, you can go bend on. I don't hate that.
He's a little chalky, though. I feel like chalk bend on is probably not a great idea.
Okay. Nick Taylor finally got things going again at Valspar.
Yep.
So that's a guy who's shown a pretty high ceiling here, you know, this year. Really good around the green. I think he's got a couple decent finishes like way long ago. So yeah. I know he can actually kind of do it here. I don't mind Nick Taylor this week.
All right.
Let's see. Tyler Duncan is kind of like, I got Tyler Duncan and David Lingworth kind of in the same bucket.
Okay.
Their ball striking has been really good. And like, I mean, what was Duncan last week? Top five finish. He had a top five finish at Honda.
Yep.
David Lingworth has been really good for about a month now. But their around the green numbers are really poor. But I think just the fact that, like, yeah, I mean, Duncan's $7,200 based on what he's been doing. David Lingworth, $7,100 based on what he's doing. I know they don't really.
Lingworth. We have talked about him, I feel like, multiple weeks in a row.
He cashed me at Valspar.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
So, and, I mean, I Lingworth has been really good at Colonial. So you got some Texas stuff. I think he's had a couple of finishes in Mayakoba as well.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that can work. And then Kevin Streelman kind of came to life at Valspar again.
Okay.
He had T27 finish. That's a guy that, I mean, he dominates at Valero. You know, really good proximity numbers with all this stuff. Pretty good around the green, too.
Yeah.
Maybe he can get things going.
Where's Ben Martin from?
What do you mean, where's Ben Martin from?
Where's he from? Was he from Texas?
I don't know.
I'm asking. I didn't know if you knew or not.
How old do you think Ben Martin is?
Oh, he's got to be fucking 32, 33.
And he's 36 years old.
Okay. Yeah. So I knew
35.
Yeah. Whatever.
So I don't know where Ben Martin's from. He might be a Georgia guy.
Kind of looks like a Georgia guy. Checks out.
Why talk about a couple of other players? You're like, I'll look up where Ben Martin's from.
So I like, that's why I brought him up. So I kind of like Ben Martin. Like, he was on a nice little tear there in February. And, you know, made the cut at the Players, made the cut at Valspar, lost around the green and putting, which he typically doesn't do. Played well at Punta Cana, top 10 there. I mean, for $7,200 or $7,100, whatever that is, it's not bad. Not bad. I don't hate it.
Okay. All right. How do you feel about Eric Cole again?
So I was going to ask you about him. Is he just a guy we play in Florida? Like, it's Bermuda. And so does that kind of help a little bit? Like, man, because his numbers on approach and the par three numbers from 150 on look
wasn't
real good.
Wasn't he decent in Mayakoba?
I don't know.
All right, T27 finish in Mayakoba.
Yeah.
T35 at Houston Open, and he did pretty well with his irons around the green.
He just lost off the tee. His problem's off the tee.
Yeah, they usually are.
Yeah.
So I don't hate that.
Okay.
I mean, Will Gordon's been hitting his ball strike. It's been pretty good. Around the green's been a mess, but actually I got pretty good bunker numbers on him.
Really?
Yeah, really.
Hmm.
So that might be horrible. Now, that also might be like 2 years ago or 3 years ago stuff.
Right.
I'd have to go back and see, because I went back to like, I think like 2020 or so. Because like, I feel like with bunker play, you don't really lose it. It's kind of like, all right, are you good at bunkers
good or not?
Bad at bunkers.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of just, you know, it is what it is. So, but his bunker numbers I got are pretty good on him. I mean, you go Robbie Shelton, but I'm a little worried that he's the bubble might have popped on him.
Yeah.
But like on its face, good iron numbers, good around the green numbers, good bunker numbers. I think he has a decent finish here, so that's not horrible. SH Kim, that's another guy who's pretty good around the green. He's kind of up and down a little bit, but I think he's a decent player. He's got some okay results.
What about Charlie Hoffman? I mean, he doesn't play anywhere good other than the places he's good at. He T14 the Phoenix Open. Is he going to do the same thing here?
Maybe.
7,000?
You could do that. What's his ownership like?
Fucking sub 5.
Okay. You can go Charlie Hoffman.
Well, Pedrig.
I don't track him.
What?
I don't track. Why would I track Patrick Harrington? He plays mostly on the Champions Tour.
And on the Euro Tour. Like, and look, he made the cut at the API and the Honda. What did he, didn't he come in like T5 or T10 in Abu Dhabi?
Listen, as someone who manually tracks stats,
So
he has a T5 at Champions Tour, he has a T7 on the Champions Tour, and a T2 at the Champions Tour. Other than that, T53 at Arnold Palmer, T60 at the Honda, T25 at the Raza Kamina, cut at Hero Dubai Desert Classic, and a fourth at HSBC. Okay.
Pretty fucking good. The man is a fucking senior citizen.
If you want to play Pedrig, go play Pedrig.
Pedrig. Sure.
You said Pedrig. You say it.
No, it's not.
Okay, Pedrig, whatever. All right, fine. Go play Patrick Harrington for all I fucking care, okay? All right. I got nothing else under seven.
I got two guys I want to ask you about.
Lucas Glover. Maybe. Dude,
he's chalk.
Chalk?
It's like 6% already.
I mean, that's not a whole.
I mean, for 6K in an event like this, yeah. Ben Taylor is just not a thing anymore, yeah?
He might not be a thing anymore.
Okay.
Which is too bad. I like Ben Taylor. But remember with Ben Taylor, he's a retread.
Yeah, I know.
So he might be just who he is now.
Any love for Scam Champ?
No. Okay. I am never.
I know never. I'm playing him in DFS Masters Week.
Okay. Good for a lot of people will.
Yeah, well, last year we said the same thing, and I shifted. It doesn't matter. We don't need to get. We have plenty of time to bitch and moan about the Masters next week.
I can't wait for him to go to LIV.
He's not going to LIV. They're not taking any more players. LIV is going to be gone.
That's a guy with injury history. I think he's going to go. I mean, he's played the Saudi.
I just don't think they're taking anybody else, bro. Like, I think LIV is not long for this world.
Well, I think they're going to take people next year.
I don't know, man. We'll see.
Okay.
Who the fuck? Where did he go? Oh, what about, I always do this just to watch you get angry. What about Doc Redman? I love Doc Redman.
Sure. Why do you love Doc Redman?
I don't know. He fucking made me some money at one point and fucking just kind of fell off the face of the earth. He's a local Jacksonville guy too. I know a couple dudes who know him. They say he's a really good dude.
Okay.
If it's T16 with Valspars, maybe he's back, baby. He was supposed to be like a young stud and he just kind of never did anything.
Okay. How about all right, Bryce Garnett had a T8 last week at Corrales, yeah? Although he's only good usually on coastal tracks and there's no water.
No water in,
San Antonio.
No water.
So
no water.
That might not be great.
Landless.
I don't know. That's really about it though.
Yeah, that's probably about it for me too. I know our boy Cam loves Pearson Cootie. I don't know why. Every time we talk about
He's the shiny new toy. Him and Akshay are the shiny new toys.
Oh, Akshay is going to be fucking Uber Chuck.
Very much.
I might bet him first.
They want Akshay to be a thing.
Because he was on a TV show that I apparently didn't watch.
Whatever.
Yeah, he was on some golf show, I guess. I don't know. But yeah, I might bet him first round leader. That motherfucker can go low. The problem is the next day he goes high.
That is true. He's a very volatile player. So
yep.
I got nothing really else.
Yeah, I'm good too, man. So.
Okay. Let's see.
This is a shorty.
Well, no, I don't think we're done. All right. So this is the end of DFS Valero talk.
Okay.
So you sent me a message over the weekend. I'm not going to scroll through it. It was basically, Mike Wan of the USGA.
Oh, yeah.
Saying about the distance thing. So I think you've made it, I guess. Why don't you make your take about it? So
I just think he's full of shit on his reasoning why. Oh, he doesn't give a shit. He doesn't really think like your local municipals or all these other places are going to need to buy 17 or 14 more acres. Like, I don't know, man. These talking heads immediately just rub me the wrong way when my bullshit meter goes off. Like, That's not the reason why they're doing it. Like, he doesn't give a shit about the country club or whatever venue to buy 14 more anchors. Like, that's not the reason. That's it. I mean, that was my whole take.
I think they do give a little bit of a shit. I mean, their goal is to promote the game of golf for everybody.
Yeah.
And it's not a good thing that golf courses have to basically expand, push tee boxes where they shouldn't be.
How many
golf courses don't play how it's intended?
But how many golf courses actually will have to do that? How many golf courses are PGA events? Do you know what I mean? Like, not like what 2%, 1%? I don't know.
That's fair. But I mean, their biggest moneymaker are its national championships.
Yeah.
So if they want to put some sort of restriction on some of those guys.
Yeah.
I think it's fine. I don't really have an issue with this. I agree with a lot of the stuff they've been saying. I think some of the hot air from some of the players if you want to talk about bullshit, I think that's bullshit.
Yeah. I mean, look, I
say that stuff.
Yeah, no, listen, I get it. Listen, and I actually don't have an opinion, if that makes sense. I just don't give a fuck. Like, roll back the ball. I don't care. Like, yeah. Or keep it. I don't care. Like,
I mean, I think it's going to make professional golf more interesting because we're going to see these guys hitting longer irons instead of just the driver wedge over and over.
I feel like this is just going to be like steroids in baseball. They're just going to figure out a way to get ahead of the testing. Like, the equipment's going to, they're going to sneak the equipment and the ball's still just going to go as far, or they'll figure out. So, you know, what are we on, cabin now? Like, you know what I mean? They'll figure out.
Well, I mean, the USGA, like all these events, the USGA is going to control the ball.
But what I'm saying is like the equipment, like the actual, like whatever, they'll figure out a new driving phase that can give the ball an extra 7 yards. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like it's just going to be baseball on steroids. Like, the guys who were going to cheat were always going to stay ahead of it and not pop. Does that make sense?
All right. Okay. I guess that makes sense. I mean, like, overall, I think this is a good thing. I think it's going to make the game of golf more interesting. I was worried that, because your nemesis Rory McIlroy actually was the only one who came out and supported this thing, that you're just like, you know what? I just hate everything he says. I am anti this now.
No, and you know me, I'm not that blanket about almost anything. There are some things that I'm that blanket about, but Rory's not even one of those.
Okay. How about the pushback about how after Rory, when he drove the green at Austin, that became a talking point about how the rollback of the ball was, we wouldn't be able to see that anymore. Did you see that?
Yeah, I did. So I was actually more triggered by people saying that was the greatest drive ever.
Oh, I mean, they want to wipe away DJ from,
Right. Right. And I get it. Like, I guess, like, just because, like, the distance and how close it came, but, like, Adam, listen, I love match play.
The greatest drive
ever is not coming at a fucking match play event that's not even the final. Do you know what I mean? Like, there has to be context to the greatest drive ever. Does that make sense? Like, even fucking Colin Morikawa's fucking drive to win, like, is I got much better because of the weight and the circumstance. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, that makes sense. I liked how people said, well, you're not going to be able to see this if, you roll back the ball. But the response is, just move the tee boxes up.
Yeah.
Problem solved. Haven't played for the ladies' tees, and then you're fine.
Yeah, and I think I love these people who, like, because I legitimately don't have an opinion because I don't care. I think I'm just so worn out by people arguing about everything and literally everything that, like, I have to pick what I actually give a shit about. I just picture, like, these people think they're trying to roll back the ball and they're gonna be playing like Fred Flintstone, like, rocks. You know what I mean? Like we're just taking a couple, whatever. I don't know what the fuck they're doing, changing up something in the ball. Who knows? Like, I don't know what the hell they're doing.
Yeah, I think it's just gonna, like, go back like 10 yards.
Yeah, like, what the fuck are we talking about?
So, this, like, the longest run on the PGA Tour, we're still going to average like 312.
Yeah, like everybody.
That's plenty long.
Everybody relax. That should be the statement. Like, I feel like this, it's so fucking far gone in our society now. Nobody relaxes about fucking anything. I know I yell and I get all fucking worked up about shit. Yeah. But it's just bullshit when I'm talking to you. Like, I'm not out in public, like, freaking the fuck out about shit. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just talking to my boy about something that I'm upset about. I'm not on any social media platform yelling about shit unless it's like the Bruins or like some sporting event. Like, just people just don't, they take everything too fucking seriously. Everything is not the biggest fucking issue in the world.
Okay. Why don't I actually ask you about maybe something that's a big issue? Let's just transition away from golf. This is something else I saw today.
Okay.
Did you see Bill Belichick's quote today?
Oh, fuck him, man. Like, fuck him.
All right. Just resting, roll.
Yeah, resting on your fucking laurels. Like, he would never, ever let a fucking player get away with what he fucking tried to pull today at his bullshit, childish fucking press conference. I think 25 years. Yeah, 25 years. How about the last fucking four, Bill? How about the last four? Bringing those fucking Bobos in. Couldn't coach worth a fuck. You got nepotism on the staff. Don't. Oh, I can't, dude. Like, I just can't. He's such a prick. He's such a fucking prick. And he is like, can you imagine if Brady, think about how bad he treated Brady. And after they won the championship, well, that was last year. We need to move forward to this year. And he says that I'm focused on in the same conference. He talked about, I got focused on the 23 season. And then as soon as somebody questions, you know, how shitty our team is and why any fan should be excited of him fucking completely fumbling the bag on this team, he reverts back to my resume. No player could ever cite their resume. Brady couldn't cite his resume under Bill. Like, it doesn't matter what you did for me yesterday. It matters what we're doing moving forward. Until we question how fucking stupid you are, Bill.
Okay.
I hated it. His act is gone old.
Is your opinion going to change if they trade for Lamar Jackson?
They're never going to fucking pay him. Kraft is cheap. Kraft is not going to pay him. You look at like the real dollars spent. Like, we're towards the bottom of the league. Like, salary cap is bullshit. Like, nobody cares. Like, that's fake money. Like, real dollars spent, the Pats are cheap.
Okay.
Real dollar. We're not going to pay him. Like, fucking Tommy texted me that earlier. He's like, fuck off. Kraft's not going to pay him. But I was irritated.
Where do you think Lamar plays next year?
Commanders?
Yeah,
what's his name selling the team so he can write a fat ass contract and be like,
that is true. Put him in salary cap hell as a giant FU to the franchise before he sells to Jeff Bezos.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see that. I don't think there's really another match for him though.
Atlanta should be in on him.
They should, but they got a lot of other problems though.
Yeah.
And they got a couple high draft picks. They could just draft a guy, right?
Yes, but I mean,
yeah. So,
what are the odds of you getting Lamar Jackson with a draft pick? Though I hate that logic. I'm like, but you already know what you have here. You know what I mean?
No, I don't.
I like Lamar, man.
I don't think I've ever been the biggest Lamar fan.
I'm not a huge Lamar guy either, but fucking Christ, he's better than Mac Jones. Go pay the man.
He is better than Mac Jones.
Give some excitement to the fucking fan base. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Now, Billy O'Brien could do something with him. I don't know.
Maybe. So.
Thanks for spiking my blood pressure.
You're welcome. I had to. We had to get at least to the 50-minute mark, and the only way to do it was to put you, you know, basically almost give you a stroke. So, I'm sorry, sir.
Fucking ambush me. I wasn't expecting that.
All right. I got nothing else. You got anything else?
No, that's it. Tomorrow, we got Matt Gannon on the betting show. There's some interesting decisions to be made out there. So, I'm curious to see which way we're gonna lean. Some of these matchups, they're gonna. I don't know. Sometimes we call it a coin flip, but this is a legitimate like Chris Powers first round leader dart throw fucking with blindfolded, like, who knows. So I guess we'll find out. But go follow us in our Discord channel. Yes. And that's where Steve's in there. He's always dropping types of shit. I'll go in there and I'll shadow watch, and then people will mush my shit and I'll leave. You can follow me on Twitter at Boston_Capper. Other than that, hit us up on at Golf Gambling Pod too, man. Go subscribe to YouTube, hit rate, review, follow me, fucking whatever you guys want to do. Let's fucking break DraftKings this week. Let's fucking go.